We're looking forward to doing our little bit in Jeff for the glory of God. So you pray that things will work out accordingly. Brother Taylor said, I got a little light, and I'm going to let it shine. All right. Notice what we're saying here now. In 1st, 2nd chapter, John is looking at, well, in the first chapter, he's looking at the mystery of the seven candlesticks, where Jesus is in the midst of the candlesticks. The voice has spoken to him, and the voice has stated, said John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. I've said this before, and I want to say it again, and I hope you can understand what I'm saying. The Bible said the righteous will understand, the wicked won't understand, but I hope you can understand what I'm saying as to prove your election. It was said to John, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand. You know, it would be like you were sitting out there in the audience tonight, and there was a great drama about to take place. Curtains getting ready to pull back. All these things are symbolic and typical in life. Perhaps you'd seen numbers of things, and this was the last episode of this great drama. And all of a sudden, the veil is rent in twain. The curtain goes back. And then the great drama begins. And just before the rending of the veil, something would say, the time is at hand. Someone would look at the clock and say, you know, at such and such a moment, those curtains are going to break back, and my, what we're going to behold, what we're going to see. And so someone would say, you know, as we say, tick, 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 the time is at hand. And all of a sudden, away goes the veil, and then the great wonderful things are in action, and you're seeing and beholding, and in your mind you move right into this great drama, and you're just part of it. You're just swallowed up in it. And this is the way it is with God, all those things being typical. Here we are at the last moment, Calvary, the veil has been rent. Now comes your generation and my generation. We're living over here in this thing, and it's our hour to look beyond the veil, even as it was their hour in their day. Now it is our hours to the last generation. Peter saying then that the end of the world had come upon them, and as I said, back in the days of Noah, the end of the world had come upon them. The first world, the second world. And now I say to you again, the ends of the world have come upon you. And as it was with Peter saying, the ends of the world has come. I want you to really think on this now. The ends of the world have come. You are the people, Peter said, upon whom the ends of the world have come, or the end of the world has come. Now, that means that if that is true, then from Calvary for the church, it has not been the world anymore. It has not been the earth anymore. It has been heaven. Ever since Calvary, it has been a heavenly episode. The earth, the heavens, all of the heavens is rolled back. As it was said in the book of Revelation, and they saw him appear as the heavens rolled back as a scroll, which is Calvary. Rent in twain, roll back as a scroll, and there the ark of his testament appeared in the heavens. The lightning, the thunderings, the flashings, all these kind of things. See, so we know that the end of the world is here. The sounding of the last trump, the finishing of the mysteries. And so then we find here in the end of the world, the finishing of the secrets of God. The original rendering, I say again, is the finishing of the secrets. He that dwelleth in thee, shadow under the abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So then we see the secrets being finished, or that is the mysteries of God being finished, which means that if I tell you something and you don't understand it, then it's a mystery to you. But if I detail it and all of a sudden you get into my thought, into my world, into my mind, and you look beyond my human expression, then you see the mystery of it. And you understand the depth, the dimensional depth of the thing that I'm trying to project. So then, here we see that something is taking place. And looking beyond the veil, Peter saw that he was the Christ. And thus the door was open at Calvary. It rolled back as a scroll. John, at the end of the way, saw this door that Peter had opened. And the door was a door in heaven. And that Jesus said, I'm the door. The door was now open. And you could look beyond that and see the wonderful things in heaven. So then from Calvary, that means that heaven is here. The law and the prophets till John, since that time heaven has been here, or the kingdom of heaven has been preached, or the kingdom of God has been preached, and men press their way into it. That is to say, your angelic innermost being is pressing its way into the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And so since that time, we've been preaching, as for our generation, they've been preaching for their generation, the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus as an entrance into this kingdom of God. So then we see that the kingdom of God has come. And the Bible said, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so then we are trying to be about our Father's business to establish this kingdom in the earth, to bring to pass the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, to declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Christ and of our God, and they shall reign forever and ever. I know that the kingdom of God is already mine. I know that. You have the kingdom of God within you. I have the kingdom of God within me. The law and the prophets till John, the Jews said, where's the kingdom? He said, it's not by observation. It was a spiritual thing. And we know that we're in the kingdom of God so far as our inner man. And we know that the kingdom of God is within the inner man. That is to say, the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, has become interwoven with your spirit and your spirit with his spirit until you can say, it's not I that liveth, but Christ within me. He's the one that liveth. And the life I now live is an eternal life. I live it by the Son of God, in that I lost my temporal life because of the sins of Adam. Regenerated, living in another generation. So then, what can I say to you? Who can speak to so great a people, even gods? You are now gods. You pass from death into life. You cannot die. You are no longer human beings as the living soul, but you become a quickening spirit after the order of the second man, Adam. And you are now a God. A God according to the measure of God that dwelleth in you, as to the measure of the God body, members in particular. And whatever you are, as to the measure that you've submitted to or received, in that God hath dealt the measure unto you, so are ye gods. And gods cannot die. So the Bible said ye cannot die. You pass from death unto life. Now, I say again, if you cannot die, that means that you cannot sin. Because if you can sin, then you can still die. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But if you pass from the stages of a living soul to a quickening spirit, in that he that is born of the Spirit is spirit, then that means that you cannot die. You're no longer the living soul subject to death. As the sin in that the body is dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus, him becoming your sin and death, that you might become his righteous body and life. And so then the body of sin is laid away. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the body, that is, through the flesh, us being weak to perform it, that God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, thus fulfilling the scripture where the angel said to Daniel, and Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. 483 years later, he came. He made an end of sin. And then taking our sins away, putting them beneath the blood, now there's no more sin for the saints of God. He took it away. Not only did he take it away, but he put the blood of atonement there at the mercy seat so that all of the world can be without sin before God, is to be under the blood, that God may make this whole world a second heaven to where people can dwell and they get by with many things because there's no charge against them in that God doesn't see it. So then some men's sins follow them to the judgment, and those men's sins are going to follow them to the judgment, but your sins are confessed and they go on to the judgment before you, being judged in the mercies of God, is by the body of the Lord Jesus, putting it away forever out of his sight, that you may consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus, and dead unto the world, and Paul said, in the world, dead unto me. So then we see the beauty of what God has done for us, making us God's, taking us from death unto life, taking us out of this world, saying that you're not in the flesh, for I've chosen you out of the flesh, and you're not in the world, I've chosen you out of the world. And we that walk not after the flesh, and that we cannot walk after the flesh, we are thus in the Spirit, and there is now therefore no more condemnation to us that are in the Spirit, who walk after the Spirit and not after the bodily death. We are thus delivered from the body of this death, and that Paul said, within my body there is no good thing. So then God has delivered us by His Son, that the law could not do. So then transgression of the law being sin, and sin being death, we cannot sin because we're born of God. The Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin, for the seed of God, even Christ, your hope of glory, that word of faith remains in you, and God purifies your heart by faith, sealing the inner man, saying, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So then you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Now we see then what we are in the Lord Jesus. Thus we are God, we pass from death unto life. If there's no transgression of the law, there's no sin, because sin is transgression of the law. If the law is folded up and laid away and we're dead to the law, then we can't transgress the law. Thus we cannot sin. If we cannot sin, we cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. Where there's no sin, there's no death. So then we're passed from death unto life, and we are those that dwell in heaven, in that Jesus said, ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice forevermore. Not in the world, I've chosen you out of the world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or restoration, which brings in the great millennium age. So then, being sealed in your spirit, Satan cannot get to you. Now, I said that to say this. That means that from Calvary, the end of the world came. You're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Now, if that be true, then we understand what the Lord meant when he said, this is as the waters of Noah to me. All of this is gone. We are those that dwell in heaven. The world passed away, and we are not in the world anymore. And the world went away, and we were chosen out of the flesh, in that we have withdrawn from the activity of the flesh, just like the life does in an apple. When the apple withers, the life withdraws into the stone or the seed. It's sealed where the parasites cannot enjoy the benefit of it anymore. And the life is thus preserved until the planting or the refurbishing. So then when we see this, we know that we pass from death unto life. We know this because we love the brethren, and that love is as strong as death. We know then that we have passed from death unto life, and that we are God's and we can never die. We're now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. No longer we that live, but Christ that liveth within us. And God doesn't see this feeble body of ours anymore. Though we're much alive in the flesh as to the world, much alive in the flesh as to the feeling of the contrariness, as to the skin worms that try to work within our body to bring corruption. But we have the power and ability on the inside, as the embalmer puts the fluid into the body to preserve it, so that the skin worms cannot cause the decay. So do we have that wonderful injection of the great Holy Spirit to preserve us until the day of the resurrection, that we can be brought forth whole in his image. And that means that the skin worms have no power over us, because the Holy Spirit repels them. And we do not seek corruption. The Bible said he suffered not his Holy One to remain in hell, nor his body, that is his Holy One, to seek corruption. So then we are without corruption. The world can be corrupted, but we cannot be corrupted. And as it was the 2 days, and then came forth a day as 1,000 years, a couple of days, and then the millennium, as the third day cometh in. And so then we come into the resurrection of the great eternal life of God. Now, I want to read just a verse and continue on with just a thought or two. I want to drop that in first. In the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bible, you can read with me. Third chapter here, speaking of what you refer to as the church ages. He tells them here in the fifth verse of the second chapter, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Then he goes on to say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst in the midst of the paradise of God. He goes on down to say to the churches, he tells them to strengthen the things that remain. He said, if you do not strengthen the things that remain, I will come and move your candlestick. Now to repent, do the first works over. Strengthen the things that remain. For he said, I have not found thy works perfect before me. And the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And God said, this life that is within you, if you do not repent, do not do your first works over, and if you don't strengthen the things that remain, I'll come and I'll move your candlestick. All right, so then we see here that we have to strengthen the things that remain. Now I preach to you these things. I preach to you that so far as your salvation, you are secure. I preach to you that you are the predestinated of God, and that this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. And that it was brought to light at Calvary as to the rent veil that let it shine out to you and preach to you down through the church ages as to those dimensional steps that I made mention of this morning as Jacob saw them at Bethel going on up into heaven in the midst of the candlesticks where John saw it at the end of the church ages when the voice had come up hither, John. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Those candlesticks about the throne, thus it was shown that God is the one in the midst of the candlesticks. So that is to say, down through the church ages, it is God that is in these church age angelic beings that's doing the great things that he's doing to bring to light the wonderful mysteries of God. So then I say that the world passed away. The world passed away. Then at Calvary, the world passed away. What does that mean? I say again in a way that we might be able to understand it. When God created the world, the great light, God is the great light under which no man can approach. This great light was there. And when this great light created the world, there was only one way that God could do that, and that's to put it forth and then receive. If I were to take a picture of you, I would take a great flash and I would flash it on you like that, just as God did Adam and Eve in the garden. I'd catch the image and then the light would be gone. You understand what I'm saying? From then on, it would be a negative as to a process of darkness, and that through the chemical changes of whatever I applied to the film, under the little red light that symbolizes the blood, as we say sometimes through the dark ages as to the church ages. So then when we see this thing, we see that God come forth in his Shekinah, flashed upon man. Thus man was made in his image. And then when the light withdrew, then came Lucifer, the prince of darkness, to take control of this individual because he was in a negative condition. Being in a negative condition, then it is continued from that time of the expulsion in the garden right on down until the day of Calvary when the veil was rent in twain. Much we could say about that, but we're just going to try to run through a few little things tonight. So then here we are, we see that God has done something, and down through the negative ages, bringing the law of the veil, that is to say of darkness, of the intellectual concept of God. And that is to say, those things, as Moses seeing the hind part, that is to say the veil part, as it was with humanity, or an intellectual expression of God, as to those things that God done within the veil, as to Moses and many others. But it wasn't until Calvary that the veil was rent in twain. And when Paul got the revelation, he realized then there was a veil, And he said, in this veil that was over the face of Moses as to the Shekinah glory of God, that is to say an intellectual concept within Adam in which all die, he said, this veil being over the minds of the face of the people remaineth until today. That is to say the intellectual infiltration of that which was corruptible coming from the beast. That is from Lucifer through the beast into the weakness of the woman. Or that is to say the flesh which is symbolic of the feminine part of life. So then we see that this thing existed and continued to Calvary. Moses seeing the hind part. We have to remember that. Moses seeing the hind part, that which was veiled, seeing from Calvary all the way back to Genesis, or that is to say that that was within the veil and wrote and give us the book of Genesis. But being blinded in part, the Jews could not get beyond this veil. For they said, God cannot speak to us. Let Moses speak to us. And let this veil be upon his face, as we would say, that the Shekinah be hid. But when Jesus, the veil of the Shekinah came, the veil was rent in twain, the prophet likened to Moses. And then we do not now see through the glass darkly as that which we cannot perceive as to the end of that which is abolished, saying that the glory of this latter house as to the Gentile church, even the light of the world, is a greater light than that which was within the veil as to the Jews, could not see beyond the veil, that is to see beyond the hind part, to see over here in this age in which we live, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, as to the unveil, the curtain is now rent, the veil is now rent, and that means if the veil is rent, the world has passed away. Because the world exists by the receding of the great light. So then the world is here, and the world is lying vanities. All of it must pass away. It is lying vanities, and Satan is the prince of this world. And this world is the heaven, as to the second heaven, which Lucifer is in, all because of grace, or the blood that's on the seat of atonement that God has allowed to be there during the episode of this period while the saints are making ready. So then God is angry with the wicked every day. He will destroy the wicked, but to give his children time to get ready and little babes to be born into this life and then to have the time to develop, God has to give grace, and thus he allowed the wicked to continue on, that is to say, in the world, the tare and the wheat to continue to grow together. But the parable said at the end of the way, all of it is cut down. Then the tares, first of all, are bound into bundles, even denominational bundles, society bundles, all kinds of bundles. They get together in all their doings, and the Bible said these are cast into the fire. But then the wheat is gathered, and then the Bible said it is put into the garners. So then comes the church as to the gathering of the harvest. Leave them alone, that is in the world, and let them grow together. God will send the angels in the last days and cut them down. He will sever the just from the unjust. And the tares shall be burned with unquenchable fire. And there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the wheat or the grain shall he gather into the garners. So then we see that from Calvary, it is the harvest. Jesus says, and the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few, but the harvest is ripe. Pray ye therefore that God, the God of the harvest, will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so then God has since that time sent forth the laborers into the harvest. So then we know that this is heaven. We know that we pass from the body of this death and we can never die. We know that the body of death being gone, we can never sin, and that's why we can never die. Messiah made an end of sin, and we know that that's the end of the world, 483 years, and then the end of the world, that is from the time of the prophecy given to Daniel. So then from Calvary, the veil being rent in twain, we see beyond the veil, here is Calvary, the end of the law. Thus the veil is rent in twain. 483 years of one part of the veil is rent. And it leaves the 7 years of the last week of Daniel as the other part of the veil. And so the veil is rent in twain. God dealing with the Jews while they're under the veil, or that is, they are under the veil till the coming of the Lord, being blinded in part. The veil, the intellectual veil of not knowing that Jesus was the Christ. So then they see Moses, but they do not see Jesus. Then the veil is there. When the veil was rent in twain, the full 183 years from that time, God did not deal with the Jews, but he dealt with the Gentiles. And the Jews went out of his presence, and God has preserved them by ignorance of not knowing, only knowing in part. So that to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and God has preserved them in that they did not understand. So then we see that they're blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Paul said this, being the man of the revelation, he understood what was taking place. So then we see at Calvary, there's the end of the veil, 483 years. And as the veil went this way of 483 years, and the 7 years as to the last week of Daniel went this way, then beyond this veil, John saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the Ark of his covenant, or that which was in heaven. So then you and I are between this as to the earthly episodes, and we are they that dwell in heaven, and these things that are taking place with us is the Spirit of Christ dealing with the spiritual man on the inside, which means heaven. Anything that is spiritual is heaven. It has nothing to do with the body. You're not justified by anything that the body does. You're strictly justified by the works of Jesus Christ, sanctified by the faith of Jesus Christ, hearts purified by this faith, that the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God or the Spirit of life may come into you and seal your spirit unto eternal life. So it is a heavenly thing. It is an invisible thing. The world doesn't see it. And though the denominational powers, they pantomime, they reflect, they go through ritualistics, they lean to the natural, they look unto the natural man, and they eventually get all confused and frustrated, not being able to keep the congregation. They come up with ball games and pool tables and all kinds of things. That is to say, all of that's foolishness, but because the blood is on the seat of atonement, then that means they can get by at least for this period of grace. So then we are they that dwell in heaven. What is it that God is trying to do? He's trying to bring us to a place to where we recognize that we are they that dwell in heaven. Why does he want to do that? At the last, as the finishing of the mysteries, as to show us who we are and what we are, to let us know that we pass from the regions of death into the regions of life, that we can never come into condemnation, that we shouldn't even condemn ourselves over the things that we allow in the sense of our stumbling. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over those things which he alloweth. So then he continueth on in joy, and he hath given us everlasting joy, an abundance of joy. What kind of joy? The joy of knowing that my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. There in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God. He made an end of sin at Calvary, my sins are gone. So then, to say that my sins are gone fills me with joy. Because I'm not from revival to revival, it's stumbling and staggering. I'm not today feeling I'm great and God down tomorrow as to feeling that I'm defeated. But I can be of good cheer, for he's overcome the world, and my faith in him gives me the victory, in that he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So my confidence in what he did has made me to be free from sin, and I have overcome the world. So this is the beautiful part of it. Satan cannot touch me. I'm sealed away, and the evil one toucheth me not. I keep myself by the faith of Jesus Christ. Alright, so we see then it is heaven. Now, what does this mean to you and I, that if we're tutored that we're in heaven? It means the rapture. The revelation is the rapture. As you say rapture, there's no such thing as rapture as to word, but being caught up. It is the change as to inside from glory to glory. Change into the glorious image of God. That is through this wonderful mind of Christ on the inside, as God brings it to us like a growth, Christ being formed within you, coming up from one understanding to another understanding, from glory to glory, or that is to say, revelated understanding to revelated understanding. Hallelujah. So then the Bible says that that glory as Moses, where the veil was over Moses' face, had no glory as to this glory as of the unveiled. So we see that we are in heaven. So when we're tutored that we're in heaven, and we get to believing that we are in heaven, and we can say to the world, as it was Jesus to Nicodemus, the Son of Man who is in heaven, as he talked with him, and when we realize our sins are gone, that we're perfect in the sight of God, in that the Bible says God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctify them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, them that he foreknew he did predestinate, and the Bible said that to conform to the image of his Son, and having justified us by the faith of Jesus Christ, by which we're sanctified, justified, and the Bible said glorified. So this wonderful glory that's breaking forth is the light most precious that illuminated the face of Stephen's and Jesus. It is the glorifying of you as to the outer man. As you release it from the inner man, it's from glory to glory, then the outer man is swallowed up within it, and the glorification is thus there. That is to say, to outshine the noonday sun. Alright, so we see this wonderful thing taking place. We're free from sin. Free. We are the free child. We're not under the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world, as to the mind of Adam, as to the mind of Lucifer, the infiltration, as to hunger and thirst after the things of the world, and be filled with those things of the world. That is to say, to have the gullible desire of the things of the world, and that if the world is in you, the love of the world, the love of God isn't there. But we are filled with the kingdom of God. We're filled with the love of God, the law and the prophets till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And I have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So someone would say, then Brother Pike, where are you? Some would say, well, you're right here at Bethlehem. You're right here at Monroe. Someone who has spiritual eyes, he that has eyes, let him see, would say to someone that said that to me, they would say, you're seeing nothing but lying vanities. We're told that we're not to know a man after the flesh. That's lying vanities. Brother Pike isn't there. Brother Pike is in heaven. And the natural man has been buried in a watery grave. And the spirit went away to God in death when that body died by the body of Jesus at Calvary. So he's now buried and laid away. And now Brother Pike is he that dwelleth in heaven. So then being in heaven, rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. Not to look at the lying vanities of this world. As I say, we look at the wall and say, I say there's a wall, if I walk to it, I bump my head. But Jesus, as the quickening spirit, walked right through it because it was a lying vanity. It was only there as to the mind. So it was another world. He was in another world as to the mind that is of God. We call the mind of Christ. So then we can see that we are in heaven. From Calvary we are those that dwell in heaven. If we are in heaven, then that means the devil can't get to us. Where am I? I am in the kingdom of God. Then where is the kingdom of God? Somebody would say, the kingdom of God is in this world. The Bible doesn't say the kingdom of God is in this world. It says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I died as under the body, as the flesh and blood as in Adam all die as a living soul. I'm now born to the Spirit, and he that is born to the Spirit is Spirit. I am now a spirit in another generation. So that what did I do? I inherited the kingdom of God. Because the spirit inherits spirit. And the law and the prophets until John, and then the kingdom of God has been preached. My spirit was translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So then where is the kingdom of God? It's in heaven. It's in heaven. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is among men. I know that. Even in Jesus. But Jesus said, I am he that dwelleth in heaven, Nicodemus. And so then it is in you. It is in me. And we are among men. But the thing is, I am in heaven. I am in heaven. I am in heaven. Though my outer man, you see, as that's in the earth, my inner man that's in the kingdom of God, which kingdom of God is inside of me is heaven. That's the Spirit. And so then John said, the tabernacle of God is among men. We being the body of the Lord Jesus, so that is to say the Lord Jesus being the tabernacle of God, or as the original rendering of the scripture that says, I am pleased the tabernacle in this body, as we would say. Or this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. So then we see that this kingdom of God has been here ever since Calvary. And the kingdom of God is here. What should I then do? I pray, my Father, thou who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, where? In this earth. Thy will be done, where? On this earth. How? As in heaven. So then the law and the prophets under John, since that time, were about our Father's business to establish his government and his kingdom in this world to bring in the millennium. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But when I go away, ye are the light of the world. So the fullness of the measure of God is in Christ in this world. All of a sudden he went away, and here you are and I are. We're here by measure as to make up the body of the Lord Jesus, and collectively speaking, the full measure of the full Christ right here in the earth. The kingdom of God here in the earth. So what am I preaching? I'm preaching life. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you may have life, and that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. So then what am I preaching? The kingdom of God and the name Jesus. To get into the kingdom of God through the name Jesus, and that Peter took the key to the door, opened the door, and since Calvary the veil has been rent in twain, that is to say, making a new way through his flesh, or separating the spirit from the body, or that is to say, he made it himself twain as to two, and the veil was rent in twain, or that is in two, or the spirit was separated from the body, and today my spirit has been separated from my body, and as his spirit went back to God who gave it, my spirit at death went back to God who gave it, and as his body was planted in the grave, so has my body been planted in the watery grave. And after 2 days, here Jesus comes forth on that third day, which means that after 1,000 years as to God, and a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, I'll come forth for that great, wonderful millennium in the Thessalonian change as to that great, wonderful tomorrow. Looking toward the celestial as the following day, as the eighth day, if not the seventh as to the millennium, but the eighth day as to the circumcision of the child, or that is to say the celestial, when the great light shall come and the veil shall utterly be taken away. And nothing will remain except us as the children of light. The mountains will flee away, the heavens will flee away, the sea shall flee away, the ocean that is, and there'll be nothing left except you and I, in that God is the great light, and no man can approach into that light. In Jesus Christ, that is to say, you, the membership of the body, dwelling in that light most precious, which is the great knowledge of the understanding of God. That is to say, this world came into existence by knowledge. It's run by knowledge. It's still the tree of knowledge. John come and laid the axe under the root of the tree at Calvary. He cut down the tree of knowledge of the generations all the way back to the garden and the expulsion. And from that the tree of life has come, and we're now branches of the family tree. The family tree of life, our fruits unto life. And we partake, as the Bible said in the book of Revelation, these roots in the waters of life as to the river of life, having fruits of life, and this shall be to the people for the healings of the nation as to the leaves, and the fruits as to those that eat. So then we find out that from Calvary over to the last week of Daniel is heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven. So we're discovering that we've been translated. We're discovering that we're already in heaven. As a healing, I discovered that by his stripes I was healed, so my affliction of the body suddenly by faith vanisheth away. So then I discover by faith that I'm already eternal, given to me in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil, and preached as the candlelights and dimensional steps down through the church ages to take me up into the midst of the candlesticks as to Jacob's ladder as to the door of heaven, the house of God, or as the angels ascending and descending on Jesus, as it was said. So then we find out that we are free from death. We are in heaven. All is over. We won out. We can't sin anymore. We now have eternal life. We are gods. We pass from death into life. This is the tutoring to perfect your faith in God, because all of God's works are finished from the foundation of the world, and they are revealed to us, and we take it in the mind of Christ as through Jesus have measurably, proportionally received it, and coming into this great, wonderful understanding, we're translated or transformed, transfigured from glory to glory. As to the instantaneous change of the inner man, translated instantaneously, new birth into the kingdom of God, as the gradual transformation of the tutoring is down through our lifetime to the development of growing from childhood into manhood, speaking spiritually, then we find ourselves transformating in the second dimension. Paul saying, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then in the third dimension, we find ourselves instantaneously as the change of the Thessalonian change, that in our body we're transfigured into the wonderful image of Almighty God, the pure in glory, even as Jesus did when his raiment glistened. So then we find that the whole thing is a tutoring and faith, and that Enoch was translated by faith in what was revealed to him as the heavens declared the handiwork of God. When this is preached, when this is tutored, that is the finishing of the mysteries. Thus the saints of God have the mind of Christ. They believe this thing, and they begin to work it down into the heart to where it becomes faith that it might translate them. And the last ones coming in, the last ones to be tutored, the last ones to understand, then with that, all of a sudden, it will be recognized, just like a person by faith recognizes their healing. That is to say, we that are alive and remain shall not exceed those that are the dead in Christ, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall recognize this, knowing that that is the end. See, and we also shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye as to the outer man. But at the moment, we don't bother with the outer man. He's dead, he's buried, he's gone. God never sees him from Calvary unto the Thessalonian change as to the image of Jesus. For all he sees is the image of the Lord Jesus. So that's what we are, bodily members in particular. And see, that is gone. It's all gone. The body's buried. The flesh profiteth nothing. You're not to keep your mind on the flesh. You're not in the flesh. The body of that death is gone as to sin. And you're now free, your spirit, going back to God who gave it. God sees us as the body of Christ over in the end, in that all of his works is known unto him from the beginning. Tutoring through the church ages to bring us to this, as John saw it in chapter 4, the door opened in heaven, caught up into the heavens. It is now being revealed to the saints that they made it. Not going to make it, but they made it. When you say, I am healed, you do not say, I'm going to be healed. Because as long as you say, I'm going to be healed, that means that it's still yet to be. But the things of God are yea and amen. They're in the affirmative. You must confess them, and then they are made effective. Somebody would say, but I'm confessing a lie, Brother Pye, because it has never come to pass. In your world, it has never come to pass. But in your world, you're time creatures. You're controlled by time element. With God, there's no such thing. All that's just a lie and vanity. So then the devil deceives you by saying, oh, this has never come to pass. We're living in today, and that'll be tomorrow. And when tomorrow, when it comes, then it shall be. But with God, there is no tomorrow. With God, there is no yesterday. And God is, he was, forever shall be, he is. There's no such thing as day and night with God, yesterday and tomorrow. There is no such thing with God. See, it is a great one stand for all with God, as from everlasting to everlasting. And all of this little time elemented here, I say, is like an accordion that's pulled out and closed up and then thrown away, and there's nothing else there. You know, and that's all it is. So you judge according to time element. Therefore, Satan deceiveth you and say that you lie. But see, with God it is not so. God is the Spirit of truth. You confess the Spirit of truth. There is no yesterday, today, tomorrow with God. All these kind of things. There's just one great eternity with God. And when you confess whatever he said, that's the way it is. That's the way it's forever going to be. That's the way it always was, and never was anything else. You love the Lord? Let's give him a hand. All right. So God has revealed it to us that we might know. And know that we're the great mighty church of the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life, Jesus said. So then we're not waiting for tomorrow, Martha. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. When he got to anybody that was dead, they were resurrected. You are alive in the spirit, dead in the flesh. And the Bible says the body is dead because of sin. God had to kill it. Now you are alive eternally in the spirit. In heaven, that is to say, in the spirit, I make my angel spirit. They're all his quickening spirits. So then you are alive forevermore. That means that we made it. We have to believe this. We have to accept this. Then this is what we become. And then we go out into the world and we tell them, even as Jesus said, the Son of Man who was in heaven, who is in heaven. Well, that is to say, we are they that dwell in heaven, though they're confounded because their eyes of understanding has been darkened by the prince of this world, which is the prince of darkness. And if this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. So then, not being the predestinated, they'll not understand, but the Bible said them to whom Paul preached, all that were foreordained in the eternal life, they believed, and the rest was blinded. All right, so it's wonderful to know that it was given to us before the world was in Christ by predestination. It was brought to light, the Bible said, at Calvary, and it was comprehended in the end time as you and I, to you and I, having been born into this world, we hear it and we comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of it. So you see where we're at, friend, and we forget about the flesh. We go on and do the Father's will. Now let me say this right hurriedly. I say to you that you're perfect forever. Your angelic inner man is perfect forever. He can never sin. Your salvation then is of the works and faith of Jesus Christ. But your works must have faith. As to your bodily endeavor, as to that body going on to perfection, just as your inner man goes on to fullness, completeness, perfection, the full reward, as the inner man believes unto this, so does the outer man work his way unto this, not as unto salvation. It's not based on fleshly activities, but you bring this body under subjection of that is to eradicate everything down to the last thought, casting down imagination as to the outer man in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that is to say, failing to believe in the Word of God, and then bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then what does it mean to you and I? It means one thing. And that is that the outer man is working his way to perfection to save himself from this untoward generation. That is to say, to conform to 100% of submission to God as to being dead and out of the presence of the things of sin, and the inner man living 100% and the outer man becoming a spiritual being as to conform to that inner Christ as to whatever measure is in your heart. And in doing this, then you're used more for God. You're more powerful in the Spirit. You're more powerful in the gifts. You're greater and mightier in the sight of God. God using you in a more mightier way, because that inner strength can be released. As to the virtue into the body, anything having virtue in them, think on these to bring that virtue into the body. As we would say, that water or whatever the electrical current, the quickening is in the battery, to bring it out into the outer part of the battery that it might be transmitted as power as to the explosion and the motion of life as to a vehicle, as steam to the locomotive. That is from potential energy into kinetic energy. All right, so then we are brought to a quickening spirit. Potentially we are godly. And we break this down to change it into the kinetic energy as to the quickening of the Spirit. And then we are powerful in God according to being filled with the Spirit. As to whatever measure we stay filled with the Spirit, so are we in God. Though we are already baptized with the Holy Ghost, as do our inner man in the Spirit, just like our outer man is baptized with water as a symbol. And God has with His blood baptized the soul as to the consuming fire. God is the consuming fire to take away the chaff, that is the say of sin, by the blood of Jesus. So So then is the doctrine of baptism. The Bible speaks of it, whether it be the baptism of suffering or whatever. Yet we find that our outer man has been washed and our inner man has been washed, and now we are no more of the world. For I've chosen you out of the world. And the world loves its own, and you're not of the world. So then you are now in heaven. You are now in the Spirit. And the body is nothing. It profiteth nothing. So you just work with it. When it stumbles and staggers, go right on working with it until you bring it to a perfect submission, a perfect conformity, and then at the last trump as to bringing forward this as to the perfecting of your faith, you'll believe the more, even as the light penetrated Stephen's faith, so will it penetrate from within in into the genetic, and like you say, be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. That is to bring everyone to this. To this. I bring you all into this room. Once you're seated, I fill this room with gas. Once I fill it with the gas, I say, is the last one in? Someone says yes. I say, shut the door. I strike the match and then away we go. So this is the way that God does it. He is filling your heart with His Spirit individually as to the measure. And after a while, collectively speaking, going to bring you together in this wonderful message of the revelation as the unveil. In that the unveil means that the veil is being moved at the world, going away, because the world is the veil. That is to say, your infiltration of mind is Satan that became interwoven with your spirit that caused the exiling or the expulsion from the garden when you was in heaven. So then that's the only thing standing between you and the garden, which is the restoration of the millennium, the restoring of the garden, that is. So then we're now moving into those heavenly places, recognizing those heavenly places, beginning to think like that. And the Bible said, according to the man's thinking, as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he thinks the thought of a doctor, he is a doctor. If he thinks the thought of an engineer, he is the engineer. He cannot think that he's an engineer and be an engineer. He might think he's an engineer and be a fool. But if he has the thoughts of an engineer, those thoughts will control the throttle. So then as the man thinketh in his heart, so he is. He cannot think he's the Son of God and go to heaven. He may go to hell. He cannot think that he's healed. He may not be healed. But if he thinks according to the thoughts of healing, if he thinks according to the thoughts of sonship and the mind of a God's son, then he is a God's son. So then the Bible said God will feed us the fruits of our thoughts, and our thoughts are productive as the fruits of life. And these fruits emanate from our innermost being, and these fruits come forth to our outer man and to them that are without, that we may feed from the fruits of our thoughts. One, gender fruits that wither, fruits as forbidden fruits unto death, and one, fruits as fruits of life unto the replenishing of the body and the refurbishing of the body, or that restoration to the image of God is eternal life. So then we're transformated by mind and then an instantaneous change in the end as to the body. Can we stand together? Appreciate you being here with us, listening. We a lot of things we'd like to say and explain. I know this is lightning. It's really lightning bad. Last night was lightning. I think about that as the war in heaven and the devil cast out. Lucifer cast out. The man child caught up in Lucifer going out. I said this morning with a lot of these things, falling as the TV evangelist falling from heaven, in that as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, it is a condition of heaven. And that when the blood is taken off of the seat of atonement, they that have fallen from grace is under the law, back to sin and death as unto the end in the earth. And so then we see these stars falling from heaven as to the physical dimension, naturally speaking, spiritually speaking, physically speaking. So we see them in that realm as they fall from heaven, great evangelic ministries as dignitaries of this world. And we see them as being reflectors and find out they don't have the Holy Ghost. They go into corruption, and when they do, their light is cut off, their reflection is gone, and they drop from the heavenlies. That is to say, God is going to take the blood off the seat of atonement, and it's going to be nothing but trouble for them people out there. They're going to be in intellectual darkness. The beast is kingdom. That is to say, the body, they that follow after the body, woe unto them that are in the earth, for Lucifer's among ye. They'll gnaw their tongues with pain. There'll be no healing medicines. And in that hour, everything will be taken away. everything will be taken away. But the children of light will continue with the grace of God as the interwoven grace of God. I say again, not under the Shekinah of God as Adam and Eve was, but born to the Shekinah. Therefore the beast part cannot mislead them or lead them out of the presence of God, because they're not just in the presence of God, they are born to the interwoven presence of God, and the light most precious is within them. That is to say, once again, that the safeguard is put in the fabric, and the spots cannot get into the fabric because of the interwoven spirit of Christ within you. You're sealed, and Satan cannot touch you. You love the Lord?
Amen.
So the hour's come. The veil is rent. The eyes are open. We're seeing face to face now, knowing as we're known. And here we are in heaven, which means we made it. We're translated in. We're coming to recognize it now. Even as Enoch was translated that he should not see death, so have we been translated that we should not see death. We've passed from death unto life. The flesh profiteth nothing. So then we're in heaven. We're enjoying ourselves as spiritual beings, paying no attention to the stumbling of the flesh, as the condemnations and problems and the harassment and whatever going on, building our faith in the promises of God stronger and stronger as the shield to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, that we might be about our Father's business, establish His kingdom in the earth, and bring to pass this wonderful light most precious as to the change of the body, that the government of God may rule forever and ever, and that we can now say as the spiritual beings, and of course then declare as the Jews ruling the earth and Jesus sitting on the throne, we can at that time declare the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. But as to you and I, we can already say, and death, where is thy sting? And grave, what victory do you have without death? Where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? So then we pass from death unto life. Let's give the Lord a hand. All by faith. And Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then we have been translated by faith that we should not see death. We should rejoice, looking forward to the change of the body, not paying any attention to the flesh because it's dead and gone and buried. We're not in the flesh. We're not in the body. We're not of the body. The body of this death is gone forever. And reckon yourselves to be as the members of the body of the Lord Jesus, submitting, going on to perfect this body for the usage of God, to sanctify yourself daily, with the daily sanctification as to the body, knowing that you've been sanctified once and for all, as to eternal life by the Spirit of God and the faith of God in Jesus Christ as to your salvation. So let us go on then, having been perfected forever, let us go on rejoicing in the Lord, remembering that we're now the body of the Lord. And if we stumble, if I see Brother Taylor stumble and somebody says, "Did you see that?" I say, "What?" They said, "You didn't see that?" I say, "What are you talking about?" They said, "What he done?" I said, "What did he do?" They said, "Well, he done such and such." I said, "No, you're just looking at lying vanities. The Bible said that you can lay nothing to the charge of God's elect. He has perfected forever." He has perfected forever. Somebody would say, "But now, Brother Pine, what if you looked out there and seen somebody do these awful, horrible things that you know is sinful?" So what? Isn't that the way with the world and the beast? To each his own. That's what they are. That's what they do. But we was talking about a son of God that stumbled. So then we are to know our brother after the perfection of God. Let's love one another. Love is of God. Let's sing a little chorus together. You love the Lord? Okay, let's sing together. Can we worship the Lord a little? It's light, and some of you don't like to go to your trailers when it looks stormy. Maybe you might tarry a few minutes. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let me sing the Savior's praises far and wide. Oh, I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Sing it with me.
All glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let us swing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up for heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living on the hallelujah. Can you sing that with me, saints of God? Glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Gonna sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up for heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living on the hallelujah. Can you sing that? Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Help me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up for heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living on. Can you give him a wave offering while we sing? Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul, and living on the hallelujah. One more time. Oh, glory be to Jesus.
Let the
hallelujahs roll.
Let me
sing my Savior's praises far and wide. Oh, we've opened up for heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living on the hallelujah side. One more time. Glory be to Jesus.
Let the
hallelujahs roll.
Let me
sing my Savior's praise far and wide. For I've opened up for heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Just one more time. Glory be to Jesus.
Let the hallelujah roll. Let me
sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up for heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? If you're on the hallelujah side, can you say hallelujah? Living on the hallelujah side. Can you imagine what's going to be as the God bringing everlasting joy when the church receives this message and they say, my God, I can't sin no more. Hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. And they start shouting and praising and jumping, and the little children start clapping their hands, the little spiritual children, them that's been in terror and woe, all of a sudden the fear will be gone and they'll praise God. Can you praise God? Can you praise God? Do you really believe your sins are gone? Folks, if your sins are gone, that means they're nowhere around Bethlehem. They're nowhere around Bethlehem. That is to you that dwell in heaven. Your sins are gone. We're going to sing this little chorus once again. We sang it this morning. Sister, we're going to sing it again. You're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, and they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are... Hallelujah. Somebody say, my sins are gone. Can you say my sins are gone? Say my sins are gone. You wouldn't lie, would you? Come on, folks. You wouldn't lie, would you? He that is born of God will tell the truth. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. How many of you believe you're born of God? Let me see your hand. How many will say he that is born of God cannot sin? Hallelujah. You wouldn't lie, would you? That means your sins are gone. Why are you worrying about them? Don't that make you feel good? If you can't sin, you can't be lost. You made it. You made it. Hallelujah. You made it. Give him a hand. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Can you imagine what that's going to do? When the church world hears about this, when they get that, they're going to shout and sing and say, glory of God, I'm in heaven, I'm in heaven. I made the rapture, I made a change, hallelujah. And sure enough, when you claim your healing, it begins to happen. When you claim your healing, it begins to happen. When you say, my God, all things are finished in Christ. All things are finished in Christ. All things are finished in Christ. Hallelujah, then. Like that. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Sing it with me. For they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, darkness is from dawn. Don't you feel like a saint of God? Don't you feel like a saint of God? Don't you feel holy in body and in spirit? Don't you feel holy, really holy? Come on, folks. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, all removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Sing it with me now. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, I'm moved as darkness is from dawn. That's a long way. Shield God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Just think about that now. Breathe a breath of relief now. Glory to God. Don't that make you want to dance? Hallelujah. Feel holy, body and in spirit. Somebody said, well, I felt all right, but then I began to think. See, you went back and got your sins. Ain't you ashamed? You know you can't go back and get your sins. If the leopard can change his spot and the Ethiopian can change his skin, then they that are accustomed to do evil shall do good. They'll never do good. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say glory! Hallelujah! The devil's angry. He don't like it. Been cast out of heaven. Praise God, what a wonderful thought. He really is being cast out of heaven, folks. All of the sharp lightning yesterday and today, he really is being cast out. I'll tell you right now, the saints of God's taking the kingdom. You believe it? They're taking the kingdom. These folks can't die. These are gods. They pass from death into life. Behold, I show you a mystery. The mystery's finished. You shall not sleep. Hallelujah, you shall not sleep. Glory to God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. How do you know that we're getting nearer and nearer now for the dead in Christ out there to break forth? Your dad, my dad, your mother, and somebody, a little brother, little sister, jump up and say, hallelujah, I'm alive. Hallelujah. Glory. Do you believe God can do it? Do you believe that God's the resurrection? Christ is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. He can do it. He's faithful. He will do it. All the sickness be gone. All the poverty be gone. Hallelujah. And he shall reign forever and forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you just a moment to come to the altar. We'll sing a little chorus or two, and then we're going to let you go. Still popping around out there, the lightning. You love the Lord? Amen. You're going to sing, I love him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, let's sing together, Sue.
I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Can you sing that with me, saints of God?
we love. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing that with me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Don't you just love the Lord? Don't that make you love the Lord? With all of your pains and miseries and problems and woes and whatever, yet deep down on the inside, you know you made it. You know you passed from death unto life. You know you cannot sin. You know that you are a son and daughter of God. You know that you belong to Him. You know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that God has given you all things that pertain unto life in this world and the world to come. For the Bible says the gospel profitable for this life and the world to come. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. God has perfected forever. And now you belong to God. You made it. You now dwell in heaven. You don't have to worry about the earth and the devil and anything anymore. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, but I think, Brother Pike, but you got no business thinking anyway but what he said. You got no business thinking anything but his thoughts. God said, get rid of every one of your thoughts. Amen. You should think his thoughts. You should have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ didn't have no place for the devil. The mind of Christ believed that the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All of these things shall fall around you, not come nigh your dwelling. For the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Even Lucifer that is in the world, and Christ that is on the inside of you. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. So then we see that God has done a great thing for us. Let's don't think anything but his thoughts. Nothing but his thoughts. All right? You know, the stone is gone, it's rolled back. As it was in the days of Moses. The heart of stone, that is to say the letter of the law, engraven in stone unto death. But today, he's given us a heart of flesh, even flesh of his flesh. And he's wrote the laws upon the table of our heart. And the love of God now constrains us. We're over the Jordan, as to say, Calvary, and death is now gone. So the intellectual mind of the old body of that death, God done away with it. And the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the mind partook, and the mind brought death. And that carnality as to the tree of knowledge is unbelief, existeth today. But you're the children of life, predestinated. You never have been the children of death. Never. You just passed through these regions. Down through here, Jesus went down to the heart of the earth to show that your spirit is passing through the heart of this earth, the bodily dust, to go out and ascend into heaven when this body is laid away after having been crucified by the world. And today you are those that dwell in heaven. The bodily afflictions and all these oppressions, put them away from you. Wash them away. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep reading. Keep thinking. Keep praising Him. More and more to become strong in the faith of Jesus Christ. Even Christ the Word,
that the word might be made flesh, as to the chains, the everlasting chains.
And he was healed from baptized.
Can you see me?
And he was healed all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here.
Can you sing that? Been here all the time. Been here all the time.
Jesus was here all the time, and he was here all the time, waiting patiently in touch me.
Can you sing it?
Oh, yes. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now. Me and he made me whole, and time shall no more, no more, and time shall be no more, for the angel who stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Say it one more time with me now.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. He'll stand on the sea and the land, and time.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
And time.
Remember Calvary? I always remind you of this. The Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, gathered all things into his Son, and the fullness, the blood of grace covered everything, that time should be no more, the fullness of time. Since then, it's been heaven to you and I. It's been heaven to you and I, and the breach came for time. 483 years. The veil went this way, and 7 years went this way. Time ended as to the earth. God chose you out of the earth. And God perfected you. And God raptured you. And God took you away. And you've been in heaven ever since, the days of the Gentiles. Even the blood on the sea for the Gentiles out there, that they might dwell in heaven where John saw. That body is to the Jew, is to that people in heaven. And the red dragon. End time. The red dragon laying there with that old intellectual indoctrination to bring forth the church body as a denominational power, with football and all of these things as the intellectual reasoning, the blood life, to devour the child with blood life, and to subdue that spiritual being with blood life, as to an intellectual indoctrination, but the child was caught up to heaven all of a sudden. Do you know that the child's been caught up to heaven all of a sudden? And time shall be no more. The blood life is reaching after it. The blood life is reaching after it with its old Trinitarian word of life. Saying we need a football team. You need to be a celebrity. Let us make you a governor, a president that will have a great society, religious society, prosper, have great multitudes. But this child is being caught up to the mind of Christ, which is the third heaven. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be, one more time, and time. See, remember the fullness of time now. The fullness of time came. And now you've been translated into the kingdom of God, the law and the prophets till John. Then the kingdom came in the fullness of time. So now you're dwelling in heaven. No more time for you. A time to be born, a time to die. No more time for you. With God there is no time. And the angel is saying time is at an end. For time is the world as to allegoric types and shadows the veil. And time, seeing the veil is now gone, rent in twain, fall 73 this way, 83 this way, 7 years that way, and won't come back in until the Jews come back in. As to the body, the casting away of the Jews be heaven, as to the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be? But life from the dead. So then you made it in by the grace of God. Somebody would say, well, why are we so late? You're just getting born into this natural world for your day to find Calvary. No more. Somebody would say, well, Brother Clyde, you mean God's just now taking us into heaven? The Bible said this was given to you in God before the world ever was. As the predestinated, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When Paul preached in his day, and they that were before of old ordained to the eternal life, they believed. The rest was blinded. You're just coming to your day as being foreordained unto eternal life. Now you believe when you hear, not man speaking, but God telling you. And time shall be no more. See if you can see beyond the veil. If you can see the unveiled, then that means that you are a heavenly child. They that do not have the ability to see beyond the veil is the unveiled word, or the word being turned into spirit and life. That is to say, as the word being made life or spirit, then they are not the heavenly child. They're still the earthly child in the intellectual perspective. For time, for you, it's no more, no more. Run time for you, no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more. For time, can I use that mic? Shall be, sing it with me. No more, no more. Run time, no more. For the angel, he'll stay on the sea and the land. And time will be Come on, sing it one more time with me, can you? Fullness of time now. And time. The fullness of time now. It's the fullness of time now. It's the fullness of time now. It's the fullness of time. That means that time will be no more. That means the mysteries have been finished. That means that when Jesus lifted his hands up at Calvary with that angel with the rainbow over his head, Satan fell from heaven. He destroyed him that had power over death. Took us into heaven, secured us by spirit. Time is no more for you and I. We're just now discovering it because we're just now being born into the world. And time shall be. And God ordained it that way, that down through the church ages it might come to you and I, that in this age you might have the sevenfold light as the compound meaning of all of those wonderful things that was there in the church. He'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. We're going to pray for the little one here, dedicate the little one, Brother Raymond. What's his name? Let's everybody pray together. How many believe in miracles? God is a miracle-working God. The other day in the camp meeting, I asked you, I said, do you believe? The little girl with the platelets was down below head, bleeding in the head and the arm, was dying. And I said, do you believe? And you said, I do, I do. And you waved your hands and I could tell before the living God. I said, I know that you do. I can tell that you do. And they took the little child back and it doubled. It doubled. It was dying. They were looking for it to die in a few days. It doubled. When it doubled, the doctors, I remind you again, said it has to be a miracle. Because it didn't just come back up to normal, it doubled. And they said, it's got to be a miracle. You love the Lord? So then you believe in miracles, don't you? They happen. They happen. You know how they happen? Is you believe them before they happen. We are they that believe to see. A generation of adulterous people follow after a sign. They're waiting to see to believe. Thomas said, when I see, I'll believe. But we are they that believe to see. He said it, we believe it. So then all things work together for good of them that love the Lord. So we're going to pray for a miracle. And I believe God will give us a miracle. How many believe God will give a miracle? The little baby really needs a miracle. Will you pray with us to believe for a miracle? God gave me a miracle for my little one. God can give a miracle. I believe that He will. Boaz, that's a wonderful name, isn't it? Isn't that a wonderful name? That was the forefather of David. That's where the kingdom come from. Isn't that right? All right, let's pray together. Father of heaven, Lord, first of all, we pray for the body of this little one, for a miracle. Oh, Father, I feel you working a miracle right now in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe God done something right then. Did you feel that? I did. I believe He done something right then. So then we thank you for a miracle, Father. Thank you for a healing. And dear God, bless this little one. Oh, God, to bring it up in the nutrient admonition of the Lord. Bless Raymond and his wife. Dear God, let him bring the little one up in the nutrient admonition of the Lord. And dear God, may your blessings be upon them and upon their little one. Father, we dedicate this little one to you, that you'll be with him all the days of his life to rebuke Satan and his evil power and death from our presence, oh God, knowing it's gone by Calvary. And dear wonderful God, that all the days of the life of this little one, Father, that you'll walk with him, Lord, that he'll be yours, Father, as you've given him unto Raymond and the wife, so have they given him unto thee, as Samuel was given unto thee, Lord, that he might be thine. And O God of heaven, Lord, his enemies, make them to be thine enemies. Feed this little one all the days of his life. Clothe him. Watch over him. Deliver him from fear. Deliver him from the hand of his enemies. And Father, from sickness, from all of the things that would cause him a problem. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless these people. Be with them in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord. And we'll praise thee and give thee the honor and the glory. You love the Lord? You love the Lord? How many believe God did it? The other night you believe God did it, and He did it. Can you just believe it? Can you just believe it? All right, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
To thank God for a miracle is to receive a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. To thank God for eternal life is to receive eternal life. I know it's been hot tonight, perhaps miserable, but nevertheless, you're those, the children of the resurrection. You've got a great, wonderful testimony and a message to take to the world. You have the responsibility of all the world because you have the words of life. Friend, the world is mixed up when it comes to religious things and indoctrination as to tradition of the elders, as it was with the Jews. But now at the evening time, the light has come. The unveiled light has come. And the veil of death is gone as to the intellectual infiltration, it's gone. As to the veil over Rebecca's face, having entered into the chambers, the secret chambers of our mother, even heavenly Jerusalem. That is to say, the church is to these lively stones, the light most precious. Isaac is removing the veil and the shamefacedness is gone. As to the veil that had to be wore in the presence of the male and that the female was in the transgression and the male was not, as to the church in Christ, a great mystery. Now the veil of the intellectual death, unbelief, it's gone. And we're standing in the wonderful secrets of this revealed mystery, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. So then, in this, under the shadows to the type of the Almighty, so see we the secret places as to the revealed Word. Allegorically speaking, the unveiled. So then we stand here and now we are not as a byproduct, as being made because of sin, but we are as the original creation, neither male nor female in Christ, having entered back into the man, that is to say the man and the woman becoming one. Now the Christ, the body, we're now one with him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, being God's original creation, even Jesus, who was and always shall be him that dwelleth in the light, always has been, always will be, to make us the original creation of God as Eve in Adam when Adam was created. You love the Lord? What a wonderful, glorious moment this is. That we're now restored to that wonderful thing and the veil is gone. And now Isaac can look upon the beauty of Rebecca. And Rebecca can look upon the face of that wonderful light of that spirit that is stronger, that changes her as to her spirit to the submission of oneness with the great wonderful. We say as our spirit to Christ into the oneness of his eternal body, that we might live forever. Rebecca into Isaac's body, in that he was the son of the great prince Abraham, the father of the faithful, the one from whom all the jewels and the wealth comes. Now she's one with the wealth. And God has given us all things pertaining to life. We're now one with the wealth. Heirs and joint heirs, is whatever his is, so is ours, and whatever he is in the sight of God, so are we. Isn't that wonderful? So then we love him. We love him. And because we love him, then that means that we are of God. He that loveth is of God. So then while we stand here together, standing together, to pray together, asking you to lift your hands up to heaven, close your eyes. What a wonderful, wonderful moment. Never been a moment like this moment. Never been a moment like this moment. His presence is with us. Sorrows and heartaches gone by faith. As we mature to master as the prophets, as Jesus did, as the disciples did, commanding, command thou me concerning the works of my hand, or that is, I've given it to you through the name Jesus. Whatever you say, don't doubt in your heart. Then it will come to pass. It will come to pass. All right. I think I'll ask Brother Ron Clyde to come and pray with you. Just come back from over in Indiana. He's been thrilled over the excitement there. The brethren are thrilled over the things that are happening. Things that are taking place. And while Ron prays tonight,
Let's believe together. Some great things have taken place in this little cathedral. Many people haven't seen it. Many people will never see it. But some have seen it. And from here, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. So tonight as Ron comes, let's just lift our hands up. Close our eyes tonight. Ron's a pilot. Think about Ron, David, they fly together. Ron's flown for us a number of times. As Ron prays, let's just remember that we're loose from the earth like a pilot that takes off in a plane. And we're sailing around in the heavenlies with God. We're up in the heavenlies, loose from the gravitational powers of death. And the gravitational powers of earth is gone away. And we've been loose from those powers. While he prays with us, let's believe God. Remember me. Pray for us. Pray for the radio broadcast. Pray for the TV broadcast. Pray for the tent meeting. Pray for the presses. The publication of the gospel through leaflet. Print it. Write it. Put it in a book. Send it to the churches. And to all the world with the gospel to every creature.